Good morning. It's great to see you all again. Thank you again for inviting me back. I have an opportunity to see some of you before and hopefully more of you after. We have the opportunity, as Rick said, to look into God's Word now. And if you have a copy of the Scriptures, I ask you would turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Where Jesus calms the storm. Probably a familiar text to many of you. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Before we read God's word, let us again go to Him in prayer, asking for His blessing. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank You that You are our Father. And we as Your children can humbly come into Your presence now. I thank You that we don't have to wait till we die to enter the throne room of heaven. But now, by the power of Your Spirit, with Jesus sitting at Your right hand interceding for us, we can boldly approach the throne room of heaven now. So we thank You for prayer, and we thank You that You hear us. And Lord, I pray now that as we turn to Your Word, that You would give us eyes to see things that we cannot see by ourselves. We need Your Spirit to illuminate our eyes, that we might see the things that are spiritual, that we might see the things that are eternal and good and lovely. For You are good and lovely. Lord, I pray that You would again open up our ears, that we might hear, that You would prevent us from being deaf and dumb to the things that You teach us. Lord, let us hear of the message of Jesus Christ crucified for our sins and now risen and living, that we might have life. Lord, help us to be a faithful people. And Lord, we confess to You, we are often so faithless. But Lord, strengthen our faith as we move into this coming year. Bless us now as we consider Your word. In Christ's name, amen. People of God, hear God's word for us from Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. On that day when evening had come, He said to them, that is, Jesus is talking to His disciples. Jesus says, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took Him with them in the boat just as He was, and other boats were with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing?" And He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey Him?" May God bless the reading and the hearing of His word. He who has ears, let him hear God's word. Just in context here in Mark, Jesus has been teaching a long time. It's been a very long day for Jesus and His disciples as He's been teaching to a great crowd. And now as our text begins, the evening has come and Jesus decides to give His disciples a special lesson. They probably thought Jesus would teach them a little bit more on the boat, but probably not expecting the things that Jesus was about to teach them. And so we see a sudden storm arise. A great storm. In Matthew's account of this text, Matthew calls it almost a sea quaking, an earthquake, a large earthquake almost on the sea. A huge storm, a great storm. And you remember that these men, most of these men are experienced fishermen. This is what many of these men did for a living. They had been on the sea a hundred thousands of times, and yet here we're told that these experienced fishermen are terrified. They're afraid. They're fearing for their lives. Fear. Fear. And if you're a fisherman, and if you are a fisherman's wife or family and friends, if your dad is a fisherman or your brother's a fisherman, probably you would think one of the greatest fears for yourself and maybe your family and your friends as you're out each day doing your livelihood and fishing is that the boat goes down. The waves crash over the boat, and that's it. So that would probably be a common fear for some of these fishermen that we're going to go out fishing one day, we're going to be on the boat, something's going to happen, and that's it. And so here in our text, we see our fishermen and many of our disciples facing one of their greatest fears. And for us, as we look into the new year, we have a lot of high hopes. And we look into the new year, we have a lot of great expectations, and we hope great things will come out of 2017. And as we looked last week, we ought to be looking out to see what the Lord is going to say to us, to see what the Lord is going to teach us as well. But just as Jesus teaches his disciples through storms, we too might be looking out to see what Jesus says to us through a storm of our own life. We might face some of our greatest fears, in fact, in 2017. God might be pleased to glorify himself through you, through difficult circumstances. So the disciples, as fishermen, they might have feared a great storm, a tsunami of waves coming over the boat. But for us, what are some of the things that you fear? What are some of the things that you would dread happening in the coming year? What were some of the things that you would be scared that would happen to you or your family if you're truly honest with yourself? Would it be waves? I kid you not, on Thursday night I had a dream I was surfing, and maybe it was because I was reading this text, and a big tsunami-like wave took me out and wiped me away. And I grew up not too far from the ocean, so I sometimes would think about waves and water overtaking me, and we have different types of fears. We have small fears, fears that relatively quickly pass by, fears of, you know, not getting the cookie after fellowship time, fears of maybe missing the basketball shot that will help your team win the game. And those are smaller fears, perhaps, yet still maybe real fears. But we also have deep, dark fears that we face. Fears that can last us a lifetime. Fears of sickness. Fears of death. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all have that fear of getting that phone call. Fear of getting the knock on the door that something has happened to someone that you dearly love. And again, so perhaps this is a fear we are facing, and yet the disciples are facing one of their own fears. And I think it's also good to note here in Mark who John Mark is and its relationship to the rest of the disciples. John Mark gets his information from Peter. So Peter is here in the boat with Jesus. Peter is an eyewitness to everything that's occurring, and John Mark is simply recording the notes that Peter is giving him. So the Gospel of Mark is really an account of what is occurring to Peter and Peter's perspective on the life and work of Jesus. And so here we have Peter's perspective as Peter faces one of his greatest fears, as Peter faces a traumatic event that he experienced. And he starts out his journey as we start out the new year, and yet he's now faced with something that he greatly feared. It was actually happening. The thing that he feared most was occurring. He was about to die on his fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee. And Peter is able to look back upon this event and teach us what Jesus taught him, And so we asked this morning, well, what are some of the things that Peter learned in this traumatic event? What are some of the things that Jesus was teaching his disciples as they faced some of their greatest fears, as they faced some of the things that they dreaded most that would about to occur? And then we asked, what can we learn when our fears come true, when we're faced with our greatest fear? And what we are to learn, I think you've probably heard this before, but it's a difficult lesson to apply. We will learn that we can have faith in Jesus because he's in control, he's using it for our good, and for his glory. And that can be easy to say. And yet when our fears face us, the feelings that we have don't often help us. And so my hope is that as we go through this text, that when we face our fears, it's not simply if, but when these traumatic and difficult things occur in our life, that we apply gospel logic. And so that we can work through these things with faith in Jesus Christ. And the first thing that we see that we can rest in our Lord Jesus Christ is that he's in control. Jesus is powerful. He's in control of the storm. He's in control of the things that we fear. And that's what we see in our text, that there is no chance that this event or any event that happens in your life is outside the knowledge and control of our caring Lord Jesus Christ. As I already stated, these are experienced fishermen. This was their livelihood. They'd been on the sea many, many times. And yet this storm that they faced, though we're told it comes about suddenly, it does not come by accidentally. There's a larger hand at work here. There is design here. There is purpose here. With Jesus, nothing happens accidentally, whether good or bad in your life. He is in control. Nothing happens by chance. And this is not to say we don't have responsibility for our actions in life, but that's a different sermon. The point here is that Jesus is in control. And so Peter is looking back at the situation and says, and is able to say, I didn't know it at the time, but Jesus was in control. And he was teaching us an important lesson. And maybe for some of you who have faced some very difficult things in your life, maybe for some of you who have already faced some fears and things that you dreaded most that would happen, and they have happened, you're able to look back upon those times and be able to say, similar as Peter, I didn't know it at the time, but as I can look back upon it, I can see Jesus was in control. And he was teaching me things that I never knew I would learn about myself. He was teaching me things I would never even comprehend about his care for me. And so here they are with Jesus. They're following Jesus. They're on the boat with Jesus. And I think sometimes we think that being with Jesus should make our life more comfortable. It should make our life easier, not harder. And that's not the case. In following Jesus, there's a evangelistic illustration about two men seated on a flight on a plane. Two men are on a plane, and both men are given a parachute. The first man is given a parachute, and he's told that if you take this parachute, it will improve your flight. It'll make your flight more comfortable. So he puts on the parachute, and after a little while, he realizes, yeah, this parachute is not making my flight more comfortable. It's hurting my back. It's uncomfortable to sit up. He just takes it off. He throws it down, and he's actually upset at the stewardess who told him that this parachute would make his flight more comfortable. The other man is also given the parachute, but told that at any moment, he's going to have to jump from the plane. And so even though he is uncomfortable at times, he grasps onto that parachute, knowing that when the time comes, the parachute will indeed save his life. And so it is with Jesus, that we don't come to Jesus, we don't follow Jesus to simply make our lives more comfortable. We come to Jesus because he will rescue us from the wrath of God. And not only save us from the wrath of God, but he will, in fact, then usher us to heaven to be with his Father. He will save us from eternal destruction. So, in fact, what happens to these disciples happens to them because they are following Jesus. Because they're following Jesus, they go into this boat with Jesus and they face this storm with Jesus. But again, we find that this storm doesn't occur by accident. And when we feel fear, when we have that sense of anxiety, it often is showing us that we feel that God is not in control, that it is happening by accident. When we have those senses of dread and fear, but we see it's not happening by accident, and God is using this event to bring his disciples to ask a very important, weighty question. So the storm occurs. The disciples are filled with much fear. And Jesus is sleeping on the boat on a cushion. That's one of the small details. We know that this is an eyewitness account because none of the other gospels actually mention that Jesus is sleeping on a cushion. And that's a surprising thing if you know much about the Gospel of Mark, because Mark is a very action-packed gospel. It's a smaller version of accounts that happen in other places in the gospel. And yet we see particular details here given in Mark that aren't given in other places in the gospel, such as Jesus is sleeping on a cushion and that there are other boats actually that went out in the water with them. And the disciples wake Jesus and ask him this question. They ask, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care, Jesus? I think that's a common response that people have when challenging things, difficult, even terrible things happen in life. People who don't even have faith in God or Christ, this is what's said. If God cared, these shootings would not have happened. If God cared, those people would still be alive. If God cared. This question Jesus knew his disciples would ask. And I think this is the question that Jesus wants us to also consider this morning. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus actually care about you or not? Is there anything in your life that has happened or that could happen that would ask you, that you would cause you to ask that question? What if Jesus were to take your health away? What if Jesus were to take your children away? What if Jesus broke up a relationship you have or never gave you the relationship that you wanted? What if you never had the financial security that you wanted, or at one time you did, but he took it all away? What at those times you might be tempted to say, Jesus, don't you care? I think we often feel as the disciples did, that God is somehow not aware even, that he's not watching, that maybe God is in heaven and he's asleep. And we must somehow rattle him and wake him up and yell and scream and beat our fists into the ground. Because if God really cared about me, my life would not look as it does now. If God really cared about me, this wouldn't be happening. It'd be different. So get up, God, and do something. Don't you care about us down here? I know you're busy and there's a lot going on, but look, consider us, hear us, do something, care about us. Because if you cared, we wouldn't be struggling in our finances. If you cared, I'd have a better relationship with my spouse. If you cared, my children might actually listen to me sometimes. If you cared, my health would not be failing. But God, if you cared, especially those that I love, they wouldn't be hurting. they wouldn't be facing difficult things, Lord, particularly those I love. Don't you care about us? Do we mean so little to you, God? Do we mean so little to you, Jesus? With death in our face, how can you sleep? Don't you care? Is what the disciples said. Maybe that's what we say. Maybe that's what you say. I think another thing to note here in the Gospel of Mark is, as we're in chapter 4, we haven't had any words, actually physical words, written down yet of the disciples. And so here in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, we have the first words recorded out of the disciples' mouths. And what are they? I believe in you, Jesus. I'll go with you anywhere. Jesus, don't you care about us? But they were not in this storm by accident. Jesus is using this storm for their good. Jesus is the master teacher. Jesus is the master shepherd, the good shepherd. And he's testing and challenging his disciples in an area where they considered themselves to be total masters, where they considered themselves to be experts on the sea, right? They're fishermen. They should be able to handle this situation. They could handle this boat, but God puts them in something that they can't handle and that their lives are on the line. He was testing them to reveal what was in them. God knew what was in their hearts. But our hearts are often hidden from us. And yet sometimes God uses circumstances in our life to show us what's really going on inside. Last week, for those of you who are here, we looked at Psalm 19. And we looked at some of the ways we sin, and some of our sins are hidden from us. There are even deep, dark things that are going on in our twisted heart that we don't really yet understand. And yet sometimes God puts challenging and difficult things in our life that reveal it to us. And we see, oh, that was in there. I really don't have faith in Christ like I thought I did. Who can discern his errors, clear me even of my hidden faults? It's easy for us to say that we trust the Lord and rejoice in his mercy and goodness when things are going well. And when things are going well in life, it's easy for us to lose grip on how well we're actually trusting and resting in our Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we are trusting and resting in the things that are going well rather in Christ. And we're not relying on Christ like we should. But here it's when the storms come, when the waves crash down around us, when the paved smooth path becomes a upward rocky hill journey. It's often in those times do we get a better sense, do we get a clarity of how well we are in fact resting and grasping on to the cross. Do we really trust him? Do we really think he's in control? Does he really care? Even in our prayer, as we pray the Lord's Prayer, it says, hallowed be your name. Do we say, hallowed be your name as long as things go well for me? Or what if God wants to make his name hallowed and he wants to glorify himself through sickness? Through difficult times, through death even, can you still pray and say, hallowed be your name, your will be done. And so Jesus here in our text, after they say, Jesus, don't you care? Jesus asks them a question. He says, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Well, Jesus, we're about to drown. Isn't it obvious? And so there are two things happening, or there are two possibilities here. Either Jesus is missing something. Jesus doesn't understand reality. That's not the case. Or the disciples don't understand Jesus. And that, of course, is what the text is telling us, is that the disciples don't really understand who Jesus is. That's the whole point of this text, and not simply the whole point of this text, but that's the whole point of the gospel, is who is this Jesus? And who is this Jesus to you? Is he God? Is he in control? Does he love you? Does he care for you or not? Who is this? Why are you so afraid, Jesus asks. Is it because you don't really know me? Is it because you don't really know who I am? Is it because you don't understand the significance of my presence and why I am here? So before there was a storm, the disciples, they readily go into the boat. They are ready to listen. They are ready to follow Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, let's go into the boat. Let's do it. Let's follow Jesus. Let's be with Jesus. Jesus is great, isn't he? I believe in Jesus. He's great. He's powerful. Of course, I'm a Christian. Of course, I'm going to follow Jesus. I will always be with Jesus. I will never forsake Jesus. I will never curse Jesus. Jesus is Lord. And here Jesus leads them into the storm to expose their heart reality. There's no place to hide in the boat in the midst of the storm. And this is who they really are. And this is what Jesus wants to have us wrestle with, is what's really going on in our hearts. Who are we really? Deep down, the disciples don't really know that Jesus cares. Don't you care? Do you know if Jesus really cares for you or not? It's very revealing, the storms and the fears that God puts in our lives, whether they be physical storms or hard circumstances storms, they are revealing what's going on in our hearts. Can you be sure Jesus cares? Can you be sure he cares? Can you feel he cares for you when things, we can feel sure he cares for us when things are going well, but when they don't, when he takes them away, can we know he cares? And that's the real question. This is the hard question. How do you know Jesus cares when things you most fear come true? And the reason we can know is because Jesus came into the world. We just celebrated Christmas. The incarnate God coming down, humbling himself into this world. And then Jesus would be in the boat with them, facing the same storm. Jesus isn't facing another storm. He's not facing a different circumstance than the rest of his disciples. And then Jesus is going to go through hell and going to go to that cross, all to show us that he cares. We know he cares because the Jesus who is with them in that boat is with us, and that he will face his own storm, even a greater storm than these disciples face. Jesus will face the biggest storm that anyone could ever face, and that would be the storm of God's wrath. In this incident in the Sea of Galilee, it's foreshadowing actually what would happen at the cross. If you study scripture, particularly some in the Old Testament, you know that water and waves are often associated with death and judgment, especially in the Psalms. And the great calming of the storm of God's wrath, so that you might have life, would be at the price of his life. Jesus would be overwhelmed by the water and waves of God's judgment that you and I deserve, so that we could have life. His death, for all of our baffling, hidden, presumptuous sins, all the times we've turned from God and sought to help ourselves, all the times we've rebelled from God. If you remember that incident in where Jonah is, he is also on the sea, and there's a great storm that occurs with Jonah as well. That too is looking forward to the cross and the Jesus. And how did that storm get calmed? Jonah gets thrown overboard, remember? And then he's swallowed by the whale and spit out. Well, Jonah represented Jesus. that Jesus would be cast overboard. Jesus would be the one that dies and suffers and faces the wrath of God and pictured by the sea and winds and waves. He'd be swallowed up by death and then 3 days later would be risen from the dead. Jesus would die for our sins so that we might have eternal life. And so this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. If God did not spare his own son, then we can be sure in any circumstance in life, whether it be life or death, things present or things to come, things of height or depth or anything, whatever circumstance happens in your life, whatever occurs in your life, we can be sure that nothing will separate us from the love of God. Because God did not spare his own son, but freely gave us to him all. And how much more will he give us all things? We can know that God is for us because he didn't spare his own son. We need that gospel logic. When we face these difficult things in life, our emotions often fail us. In the midst of the storm of catastrophe and the things we fear and dread, we have to see things as they really are. We need to be able to say, Father, I know that you didn't even spare your own son for me, but sent him to the cross for my sins. And he would die. If you would go through that length, if you will do that, you will not stop short in seeing me through all the way to glory. If you would give your son, you will take care of me. You will bring me to my heavenly home. I think it's also helpful to think and remember that this is an account of Peter. And Peter, who failed so badly, he messed everything up. Peter forsook Jesus. He forsook his own Savior. And possibly you think, I've messed up too bad. I get it why Jesus is putting all these things in my life. I deserve it. I've sinned so bad, I deserve the wrath of God. Of course I do. There's no way he could really care for me. I know he'll be true to his promises and all, but I deserve it all. And so Peter could say the same thing. I've messed it up. But yet when Jesus then appears to Peter after his resurrection, the first words that come out of Jesus' mouth to Peter and his disciples is, don't be afraid. Peace. 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 And so we need to have that gospel logic when we face the storms in life. And not only is Jesus in control, is he teaching his disciples as he's teaching us, he's showing us what's in our heart. He's also using it to glorify himself. And God will always glorify himself. He'd be an idolater if he didn't glorify himself. And that's what he's doing here. He's showing us the power and glory of Jesus. And that's the whole point, that he would rise in the midst of the storm and simply speak, and the elements would hear his voice, and there would be peace. He showed his control over the elements. He told them to be quiet, and there was silence. Can you imagine that just for a minute? Imagine you're in a storm, you're on the water, and there are waves and winds. And then Jesus stands, and he rebukes the wind. He tells it to be silent, and at once there is peace. Even in a regular storm, once the wind dies down, you know, the waves are still pretty well agitated for a while. But as soon as Jesus speaks, it's like the disciples are in the pool. It's like the disciples are in the tub. The water is still. The water is calm. The power of his voice reached the elements. Power to stop the storm. He speaks to the waves and the waves obey him. Jesus is God. That's what it's showing us. Jesus is Almighty God. And if we go back to Genesis, in Genesis, there's a picture, if you remember, it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And there in creation, you kind of see this kind of chaotic water picture. And then Jesus and God speaks and creates, and he creates out of nothing. He controls the chaos and creates, and he speaks, showing the ease of creation. And so here, nature recognized the voice of its creator in Jesus. And is silent, is calm. He had power over audiences, sicknesses, demons, death. And then here in our text, he shows that he's even over all the elements of all of the entire world and of the universe. And the disciples' fear quickly changes from the storm to Jesus. Who is this who can bring peace and calm to the greatest storms of life? Who is this who can give peace to my greatest fears? Who is this? And it's a rhetorical question, because it can be no other than the Lord. It can be no other than the Savior, the Messiah, the one that we must follow. He is the Savior. He is the one that gives grace to bring us safely home. He is able to save to the uttermost, both physically, but even more essentially spiritually. I think we could imagine after the disciples get to the shore, as Jesus brings them safely to the sea, they could say, I'm glad that's over. See ya, Jesus. I'm not getting in the boat with you anymore. But they don't say that. They don't say, I wish I never came on this trip. See ya, Jesus. Because I'm not going to follow Jesus anymore through dangerous things. If it means following Jesus and he's going to teach me hard things through hard circumstances, maybe I don't want to follow Jesus. But they don't do that, because if they did that, think about all the things that they would have missed. Think about all the things they would have missed out on that they would not have been able to see at that point. The power and mercy and care of Christ. It's often in those storms we begin to see the glory and care of Jesus. Whom or what do you turn to in those circumstances of life? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? I think, again, as we think about Peter, and as we move into Acts, in Acts chapter 12, Peter faces another storm of life. He's in prison. He's in prison for following Jesus. And there's probably the next day, he's probably going to be killed. And do you remember what Peter is doing that night, that there's an earthquake and the angel kind of comes and frees Peter as he's in jail, waiting for the next day that his life will most likely be taken in his mind? Peter's asleep. Peter's asleep, and the angel has to come wake him up. And you see, I think Peter was learning that even in the midst of the storm, even the next day, thinking, this might be it for me, I can yet still rest in my Lord Jesus Christ. Because not only will he be with me now, he will be with me after death and for all of eternity. So I don't have to fear. I don't have to be filled with anxiety and dread. I can sleep. I can rest. I can rest in my sovereign, powerful Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's in control of it all. And he's going to teach me something. He's always teaching me something. He's always pulling out of me the things that are not yet fit for heaven. He's showing me that I'm not really trusting in him like I should. I think he doesn't really care for me like I think he doesn't really care for me as the scriptures tell me he really cares for me. And he's going to glorify himself. And if anything, hallowed be your name, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. God has never promised that our lives would be free of pain, disappointment, and storms. But Jesus calls us to faith. He calls us to faith in the storms that maybe you have gone through and that you will go through. That we can know that He's watching. We can know that He cares. But for you who do not know Jesus Christ, know this, that there is a storm of God's wrath coming. And you will not have peace. You will not rest. You will be overwhelmed and you will be crushed. But there is only one escape to that final and great storm. And that is faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ already accomplished for you everything that you need. He died on the cross for all of your sins. He can deliver you from the coming wrath of God. He is the rock of ages in whom you can find safety from the storm of God's wrath. He accomplished it in His death and resurrection. So we might find, or you might find yourself now in a great storm. You might find yourself facing one of your greatest fears. I'm not sure. I know some of the cares and concerns of this church, and even already as we did our pastoral prayer, we can hear some of these great things, these difficult, challenging things that are already occurring, and we're only a couple weeks in to 2017. And if nothing is facing you now, no doubt something will come. We live in a fallen world. We are fallen creatures ourselves. How are you going to get through it? What are you going to do? Where are you going to turn? Have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold fast to Him, and He will lead you through the storm. He is your rock. Cast your anchor heavenward. And as the text says, I like it says, they took Jesus just as He is. Let us take Jesus just as He is, trusting in His care. And He will show you things about yourself that you never knew about yourself. And He will show you things about Himself that you never really believed could be true. He is our Master. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And as Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear. Because You are with me. So we can look out, as we learned last week, to see what the Lord is going to say to us. But also now, when the difficult things happen, we can put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's in control. He's going to use it for our good, and He's going to show His own glory to ourselves and the rest of the world through it. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we can be full of fear, even thinking about what You might teach us or what You might allow to happen to us. Lord, we often just want our lives to be comfortable and free. And Lord, I think that's one reason we long for heaven. We cry, Maranatha, Lord, come, Jesus, deliver us from the sicknesses and death. Lord, just take us home. But Lord, in the meantime, I pray that You would draw out the things of our heart that aren't not yet fit for heaven. I pray that You would give us great faith, that we could rest, that we could sleep, that we could especially receive Jesus Christ as He is. Lord, we sink deep in the mire beneath storms and waves and horrors and distresses of life. But help us, O Lord, help us to throw ourselves absolutely and wholly on You. Let us not forget that You order every event in our lives and that You bring it to real good, even out of seeming evil circumstances, Lord. That's how we look upon the cross. That the most wicked, perverted circumstance at the cross You used for our good and our glory, and You will use lesser things. Help us to remember that we're never forsaken. Help us to press on in hope, longing for our lives to be spent for Jesus Christ. Let us be people with great faith in Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.